stuff.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the I Tap That Cigar Show, presented by Corona Cigars. Always, I'm your host, Kevin from Cigar Prop, and I'm coming to you live from the Drew Estate Experience Asset Studios here on the sunny Gulf Coast, Florida. And joining me is Jessica. Producer Jessica is on screen tonight. Our co-host, Care Viajante, he'll probably be popping on a little bit late. He was at Young Joe's. His son got inducted to the National Honor Society. So that's where he's at. So he will be hopefully joining us in a little bit. Everybody know, been watching the last couple of, we've been having some internet issues, even though I have gigabyte internet service. Let me know if there's any type of delay. People that are watching in here, it's usually always the clap.
Oh, yeah.
One, that was two, way off. Three, four, five. That seems to be a little bit of a delay. So hopefully it's not too bothersome tonight. Jessica.
Yes.
Welcome. You just got off work. You're tired.
I am very tired, but you know.
I took a nap before the show.
I wanted to throat punch you when you told me that. First off, I got home at 6:30, hadn't eaten, was trying to eat, was had to stop and pick up groceries because I am mother of the year apparently and did not know my kids didn't have school today and realized I also didn't have anything to make their lunches. So I was like, oh, I need to stop. So I had to stop and then I picked up something quick to eat and I'm like, can you help me with the groceries? And he's just kind of walks in the lounge whatever. And I was like,
Yeah, trying to reset the modem. So for the show, because I said that StreamYard gave me a list of issues to try because since their engineers were working on it last week for me. So they gave me a few things to try. So hopefully, it seems to be okay.
Okay, stop.
Seems to be okay. I don't know.
You're fine.
Yeah. all right. Well, let's get right into it. I need a cigar. I work today as well. So let's get right into the Cigar Medix Humidimeter Cut and Light. Remember with the Cigar Medix Humidimeter, you'll always know when to hold them and know when to smoke them. And mine is at, probably not going to show up on screen, 64%.
It said 61 and then it went down to 54, which didn't make any sense. How is that possible?
I saw the cigar move a little bit. So, right.
Maybe it's me.
Yeah.
64.
Yes. And you got a, I didn't know you had a box of JM Patriarchs there. That is a beautiful, open that up. That is a beautiful, beautiful box. And Jessica paid for those with her own money. did you know we got Maurice in the background in the green room? So in 2 days, Jessica,
yes,
in 2 days, it will be exactly to the day 2 years since Maurice originally reached out to me on Instagram. He started his company.
Oh, wow.
And almost. So it's weird. This show was actually almost 2 years to the day.
That's awesome.
That he reached out to me. He's like, hey, I started a new company. And you know what I said? I blew him off.
Yeah,
and I sent him over to you. I don't get as much. We're going to talk about boutique cigars here in a little bit.
This really is
a deep V. You brought the this paleo.
Yeah,
that is probably the deepest.
I know that's why you got to be careful because you can really butcher your cigar.
Yeah, I know.
You didn't warn you about that.
You did not warn me. This is like.
I like using it.
It took 10 minutes off this cigar.
You have a piece just.
Yeah, because like I said, I snapped it like a regular V cut.
I'm glad that you pawned him off onto me, if that's what we're gonna say, which seems silly, but you're right. I do smoke a lot more boutique cigars than you do, and I'm friendlier.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So Juice 911, what's up? I have a slight delay, but not bad at all. So hopefully, well, I am going to, since we do have a little bit of a slight delay, Jessica, you talk for a second. I've got to do one test for StreamYard here. I got to do what's called a packet loss test. So so how was work today, Jessica? We'll go there.
Work was definitely one of those days where when I called you, I said, you ever have one of those days where you feel like the day felt like a lifetime? And it doesn't necessarily mean like in a bad way, just the day just was a day. There was almost too many different things that had gone on in one day. And it was like hard to like process the whole day. And it's not even over. I still feel like the day is kind of like, you know, like a horse galloping through my head. But other than that, the day was actually good. Just a lot going on. At work, we actually had a gentleman who won one of the raffles for a bicycle that we had a giveaway. He came and picked that up. And then Tanya and Jeff came and picked up the motorcycle for a winner who ended up winning that lived in Orlando. So they had to come all the way to Sarasota and pick up the motorcycle, the Monte Cristo one that was given away. And they picked it up in a horse trailer.
Oh, right
it was
on.
Awesome.
So what did you just park right out front of the store and drive it right?
So we have an alley on the side of our building.
Yeah.
So they just pull down there and you're not really supposed to be there too long.
Yeah. It's tight squeeze Corona Cigar Sarasota, you know, like
not down that alley. Cause a lot of big trucks go down there and stuff. I mean, it would be tight for a lot of things, but you know, so that was kind of cool. So the motorcycle's going to go to the winner now, and the bicycle went to the other winner. And then we still have the Monte Cristo humidor that they're going to be giving away. Oh my God, it's beautiful.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I did see a glimpse of that the other night when I was there Saturday night hanging out. All right. Well, let's get right into it, I guess. We don't have housekeeping, which I have on here. JC Newman Bricktoberfest is still going on. Make sure you go to jcnewman.com. Find your local Bricktoberfest participating retailer. Buy any 5 JC Newman cigars. They do not have to be the Bricktoberfest. And you get a JC Newman Bricktoberfest pint glass. All right. Let's see. We got this. So, yeah, that's all we have to do. So, all right. Before we bring on our guest tonight, we want to take a moment to thank all of our show partners for making this happen each and every week. So thank you to JC Newman Cigars, Cigar Medics, Amendola Cigars, We Are the Muscle, Casa Caraballo Cigars, Illusione Cigars, Deep in Flavor, Deep in Your Mind, K by Karen Berger Cigars, Corona Cigar, and of course, Drew Estate and Experience Acid. So waiting patiently in the Experience Acid Green Room is the owner of JM Patriarch Cigars, but he's also the former University of New Mexico Lobos offensive tackle, number 77, Maurice Mears. You're a big boy.
Yeah. Y'all surprised me with that one.
We always try and find some, if we can find cool videos, of our guest, we like that. Yeah. Were you a big kid?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I was a big kid. I was the tall one in the class, I want to say.
Yeah.
My dad in fifth grade was too big to play peewee football. They wouldn't let him play. He was almost 200 pounds in the fifth grade. He was a big farm boy out of Ohio. So yeah,
there's you, that's like a beanpole. It's so strange. Yeah. And his dad plays Santa pretty much every year. He grows this like epic white fluffy gorgeous beard. And he's like so big. I think kids really, my son believes that he's Santa.
Oh, so how you doing tonight, Maurice?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I want to apologize for my voice, man. I lost my voice, but I hope y'all can hear me clearly.
Yeah, we can hear you. Hear you clear. What happened? You rooting for them Hurricanes down there or something? And
that's a different topic. He's taking shots at me early.
I figure I'd swipe one every now. I just won't mention that I'm a Buckeyes fan, so we won't talk about that game years.
Oh man.
I don't say that to it. Well, at least we're not like Tom Lazuka. Tom Lazuka is a University of Michigan fan, so we get into it all the time whenever we see each other.
So Ohio State.
Yeah. So what do you are you smoking, drinking anything tonight?
I'm smoking a Maduro and drinking a little bit of water tonight.
Is that a green screen or are you in a restaurant?
So actually, I'm actually at a cigar lounge, in Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Okay.
And, shout out to Rory, for letting me use the spot tonight. It's the Stone Mountain, public house. Downtown Stone Mountain. So if you ever down here, come down here. Great food, great cigars, good laugh. I mean, it's a great place.
Oh, man,
I just love that red road.
I know. We were talking about. I was like, oh my god, that whole bag. Because he thought it was a green screen. I'm like, I don't know. That's cool. I'm like, that is.
Yeah,
awesome.
that's a place I want to go to. Yeah. You know, like a cool lounge like that. So that's Stone awesome. Stone Mountain, Georgia. If anybody's in that area. Yeah, you definitely have to swing on in. So, are you pairing your cigar with anything tonight?
To be honest with you, man, I'm just pairing with, just drinking some water with it tonight. And all right.
I'm drinking like watered down peach tea or something. Like it's got a lot of ice. It's more ice than it is anything at this point.
So, Ryan, before we get into questions for Maurice, I have a question, Maurice, if you don't mind, I'd like to ask Jessica a question, because this might help Maurice, this might help other boutique cigar owners, because normally Jessica's in the background doing the producer, and we talked about it a little bit before the show.
That did not sound right.
Yeah, she's behind the scenes, producing everything, all the videos, but okay. So we talked about, Maurice originally reached out to you, or reached out to me, they reached out to you, got the cigars, I fell in love with the cigars, we've been smoking them, ever since, obviously, you bought a whole box of them. You are the boutique cigar queen. You hunt down these boutique cigar companies, these cigars, everywhere we go, all over online. So what is it about Maurice, Jan Patria, and all these other boutique cigar companies that makes you want to just hunt these cigars and find them and smoke them all?
Because I feel like, not that other manufacturers or brand owners don't have the love of the leaf or, where they, can connect with people and stuff. I feel like with boutique brands, you do get a more personalized connection. There's, it's kind of like, that whole saying, like, support local, or, that whole concept of just supporting your community. And we can support all these manufacturers, but like boutique, sometimes it's a struggle. And I'm always like wanting to people to be like the most successful they can be. So I'm always like trying to always do my part, I feel like, because anyone could go in and buy, you know, anything from, you know, Dunbarton or anything from Drew Estate. And, you know, people really know those names. But to get your brand out there, you know, and starting out, it's a lot of hustle. It's a lot of work. And people miss out, I think, on really good cigars. And so I think if more people tried boutique cigars, I think they would really fall in love, because they're also like a smaller scale of options, right? So you don't have 100 different SKUs on different, you know, cigars. Like Rocky Patel has so many cigars out there. It's kind of hard to like find which one you really prefer. You know, when you have like a boutique brand, it's a smaller amount to have to choose from, and you can tell that the quality is there. So that's my feeling.
All right. And I agree. And it's easier to connect with a boutique cigar. Yeah. You know, you reach out to Jan Patriarch on Instagram. Maurice is probably going to get back to you fairly quickly if you reach out to, which I have, which I'm going to throw them under the bus because they don't pay me anything. Padron, I have reached out to them in the past, and it is going on 5 years and a dozen messages and never a single reply. You know, not that Padron ever has to reply to me, but some of them are just questions about cigars.
Yeah,
you can't even.
Well,
can't
they probably
even give me,
have like a customer service, like where you can email.
They don't care. Padron don't care. They're just they sell their cigars. People keep buying them.
Okay.
They don't care about customer service.
But yeah, but you know what it does come down to, in my opinion, though, is that I have literally smoked some of the best cigars, and not ever even be able to get them again, and I'm okay with that. Like, there are ones out there where they're, you know, hard to find or it's a limited run. And I kind of find that exciting because, you know, cigars are meant to be smoked, Mr. Hoarder of things.
Maurice, do you hoard cigars?
Yeah. I'm a nerd. I do it all. And it's funny, Kevin, I used to follow you on YouTube with all your, you know, with the Tupperware,
yeah,
with the cigars, yeah.
When he was in the garage,
yeah.
Oh my God, so that's funny.
He got me with the Tupperware humidors. I got that in my garage too.
Yep. yeah, the Tupperdores are awesome. Yeah, we have a lot.
We just ordered two more empties.
I bet there is no we in that, and he took.
Yeah, well, I bet we have 25 of them now. But I'm getting ready to build a walk-in humidor in this lounge next week, so I can get rid of a lot of my stuff to have a nice walk-in humidor. That's like every cigar nerd's dream.
Yeah, but you want to know what I love about the Tupperdores is like, anytime we've gone to like an event and like just say the, you know, the Great Smoke, for example, or Barn Smoker, you do get a whole bunch of cigars. And so what I like to do is make a label, put all those cigars in the Tupperdor, and then I could say, oh, that was Barn Smoker, you know, 2018, and like be like, ah, this cigar is like, you know, already been that old, you know, in 2023. So it's, I don't know. It's like weird. I'm a weird person like that. I do like putting my cigars in the Tupperdors.
So. There's nothing weird about it. I do it too. It's a fun thing. You can always go back and see the cigars with the year time.
Yep. Yeah, and then it brings back like the memory from the event that you did. I don't know. It's definitely like a nostalgic thing too.
Right. That's it. So let's start off with a little bit of football talk, because Jessica loves when Kara and I was hoping Kara would be on here, because Kara played college football as well. So I was hoping, you know, maybe he'll chime on or hop on here when he gets home. Do you come from a football family? Like big, like father, grandfather, everybody played football?
Actually, my grandfather, he was basically a boxer. And my dad, he played basketball. So I was, I was the one that grew a little bit out. You know, everyone grew straight up. I grew straight up and out. So I guess I ain't had nothing else to play. I tried to play everything else, but I guess football was my calling, I want to say.
Yeah. You're probably a little big to be playing. I don't know. They got some big guys playing basketball now. But, yeah, look like you were at ease there on the football field. But I did read, and I don't know what happened. You know, you got hurt your senior year, correct?
Right. Yeah, I got hurt my senior year.
So what happened?
So I actually had microfracture surgery, and it's basically I was coming down on the down block, and I got want to say tripped up. So the defensive tackle came in, and one of my guys fell on the back of my knee. So I got rolled up, and it broke a piece called a loose body of my cartilage, which actually flew around in my knee. So I actually played with it for about 6 games.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so it actually just float around the cartilage in my knee, and sometimes it just gets stuck. And it gets stuck, you got to, like, pop it out. Well, this particular time, it got stuck. So I was done.
So
I had to do a microfracture surgery. And a lot of players, like Greg Oden from Ohio State, he had it.
Yeah.
Grant Hill. It's kind of a scary surgery because a lot of people don't come back from it. But what they do is they poke hole into your cartilage, and they have to you have to basically grow your cartilage back. And you on bed rest about a month and a half.
Yeah.
And they put you on a machine, and it bends your knee up and down, gain your range of motion back.
So, man.
I did that, and I was able to compete for my pro day, which I did actually well. And I actually came out during the lockout year. So it was just fires after fires, right? And at that time, you know, with the lockout going in, going out, they wasn't really bringing any new guys. They didn't have any mini camps. They didn't have any training camps. So and then at this time, we didn't have a lot of supplemental leagues. So I had to basically, you know, do the CFL thing, the arena thing, and I wasn't really too happy with the CFL. Playing offensive lineman is a passing lead, and you know, I like to run block and pass block, but it was a lot of difference when it came down to it. But things happen for a reason.
I'm a firm believer of that. But I did have to ask, so after you had the surgery and healed, was it like you had like the ability to just go right back like nothing happened, or is there always a chance that it was just gonna have like a relapse in a sense?
Actually, when it comes down to old age, I'm gonna say I just celebrated a birthday, so I'm 36.
Oh,
and I can stay with the thank you, happy birthday, belated birthday to you, Kevin.
Oh, thank you.
So what happened was you know, with time, years is gonna have an effect. But after I finished in rehab, I was able to do straight movements. Lateral movements I couldn't do until around the training camp started.
Okay.
I couldn't do any like lateral movements or agility, things like that, but just straight ahead running, back, a little bit of shuffle was okay, but I had to work on those. So
yeah, I've had two knee surgeries in the last 2 years. I'm looking at possibly another knee surgery. You know, it was started off as a torn MCL and then now partial ACL. And it's just, knee surgery sucks.
Yeah. And our dog literally.
Yeah. Yeah. And our dog's got ACL. Tore her ACL.
Oh, no. Oh,
and
no.
I'm like, oh my God. And they keep telling me, like, we'll bring her back in 2 weeks. They gave me like this an inflammatory, like to get the inflammation down, and they'll do another x-ray. But they said since one went, the other one's most likely going to go because they put all the pressure on that one because she's like using only 3 legs. And I was like, she's 7. So I guess because she's older, that happens in her breed. But I'm like, what's the chances that they both have to have surgery? I got to take care of both. Gonna have to try to carry the dog and do something with him. I don't know what's gonna happen.
I know you have to do a whole bunch of. So, Kevin, do your knee hurts like on the back or on the front?
On the side, you know, like on the MCL side, you know, it's all and it's 24 hours, 24/7, you know, and it's just it's never, you know, I still can't run, you know, I can't like stomp my feet. If I'm climbing a ladder, I can't load that right knee, you know, and like put pressure on it still. And so, yes, so wherever you go. Yeah.
So you just one leg in it.
Yeah. Doing the best I can.
I mean,
you
the
know?
Problem too was like he had like by the time from the time the accident originally happened to the time he ended up even getting like an MRI or getting seen by anyone was 24 days.
Yeah.
So it pretty much atrophied at that point. And then he was put in physical therapy, and it was the wrong physical therapy. And then they
did six weeks of physical therapy completely wrong for the knee.
Right. And they did like the manipulation and to break through any scar tissue after the first semi surgery. And then it was like the wrong physical therapy again.
Yeah. It's just,
they went in and scraped the scar tissue because, you know, something was still wrong. And then they put him in this intense therapy that like was a joke. He basically was left to himself, and there was just a person there kind of phone, and he had to like do his own workout.
Workers comp is what. Little things like stomping your feet, you know, before you come in the house. If it's muddy, I can't do that. So,
oh, I like but it, just, Ben. Yeah. Ben said, did you run before? I almost said that snarky comment to you.
I'm a mechanic. So when it's raining in the shop, I will run from like the shop out to the car to get in the car. That's as far as Kevin runs. Maury's ran in football. I'm a golfer. We don't run anywhere. We leisurely, sachet to our balls. I watch a lot of more college football than I do NFL. But colleges, you've got like, well, right now, I mean, the primetime Deion, you see him trying to coach his team, you know, trying to make them better men and trying to get them prepared for the world. Back when you were playing, you know, did colleges prepare you guys for, you know, if you got hurt or if you didn't get drafted? Were you guys, I mean, was that something that, you know, was always in the back of your mind that I may not finish this, you know, this goal out? You know, were they preparing you guys, making sure you guys were studying, getting degrees?
Oh yeah, most definitely. I could take my hat off to my high school coach, Coach Walt Frazier out of Miami Carey City Senior High School. He actually prepared me at a high school level to be to come into college, to be able to study, be able to read plays, defenses, also be able to have the mindset of knowing that you're going to school to get your education and to be able to use that as a tool and also compete. And when I went to college, my coach at University of Mexico, Coach Rocky Long, I remember when I went on my visit, and he told me, he said, if you come to New Mexico, number one, you're going to get a college degree, and number two, you're going to compete and be an athlete, and we're going to try your best to get you to the NFL and, you know, and be a good citizen and be a good man in this community. And I thank him, you know, just seeing that in me. And like you said, Kevin, there's certain teams do teach that, you know, we had to go to study hall, you know, you had practice at 5 a.m. in the morning, went to class, got out of class, did team meetings. After team meetings, had to do a two-hour study hall. And that actually prepared me, honestly, to run a business and have the mindset and also have the drive.
Yeah, because this is a tough business that we're in, the cigar business. I mean, if you don't have that discipline, you know, a lot of people get, you know, they get burned out. They get discouraged is the word I was looking for. You know, it's because they don't have that discipline like you have of, you know, hey, I got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock. And I got, you know, I got to get my things done to get, you know, to get it. So, you know, I always find athletes are always, when they come into this industry, like they're just super disciplined, you know, on that. So, memorable moments.
What did you get your degree in?
I got my degree in communications.
Okay.
So I got in communication, got my minor in psychology.
That was two questions down, Jessica.
That's
okay.
Listen, I'm your sit-in co-host. I'm interrupting you.
So that's okay. So we're gonna get to that in a second. Memorable moments playing football, like any you know, cool stories on the road, moments.
I got a lot of memories, but I can tell you a funny one. We actually went to, we had a game against UNLV, and we played in, that's in Las Vegas, and the coaches made a mistake and had us staying on the strip of Las Vegas.
Get out.
And we flew in a couple of days early. I hope my coach ain't watching. But, we flew a couple of days early, and we was able to walk the strip and see things. And I guess it got word to him. So I was looking forward to for my senior year. I was like, okay, my senior year, we're gonna do it again. So we landed in Las Vegas, got off the plane, got on the bus, and next thing we're riding. And I'm like, this is not the strip. He's put us somewhere 2 hours away at a resort with a whole bunch of retired people. We were like, what is this?
that's what I would do as an opposing coach or in a team. Like, we'll put your guys up for the for a couple of days and then throw them down there. Throw them down there on the strip. You know, like throw you off your game. You know, wake up Saturday morning, you know.
Yeah, and there's nothing like being in Vegas on the strip, like, especially if if it's your first time ever going to Vegas, there's a lot to take in.
Right. I'm going to say one more thing, too. I actually had the chance to play against Von Miller in college. That was fun.
That's cool. Yeah. So when was that? Is that what year would that have been?
Oh man, that was my, I want to say my junior year. So that had to be 2009.
Okay.
Is that 2000? Man, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Good job with the math questions.
Yeah. I hate it when someone asks me, like, I'm like, goddamn, I am old as hell now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
I know, because some stuff doesn't seem like it was like 20 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Like, you sit there and go, how is that 20 years ago?
Yeah. When I seen the clips, Kevin and Jeff, I'm like, man, I used to move that. Yeah, I moved really well.
Oh my god, yeah. You're not
you're
so,
like, reflexes were like, you're like, it. You're there and then you're not, you know.
I'm like, wow. You're like,
all right, I'll get there. That's
it. So we had a do you know a Mickey Pegg with All Saints Cigars?
Yes.
So we actually had Mickey's been a friend for years, but we had a Mickey on the show not too long ago, and he played college football as well. And then one season, our co-host Care, his team played Mickey. They didn't know each other, and then they recently just found out, like, they played a game against each other, you know, back when they were in college. And then who'd have thought they'd have both ended up not only in the cigar business, but one interviewing the other.
But it just goes to show you how, like, really a small world it really is. Like, it's big, but it's small in other areas.
Well, that's it. So your coach prepared you for college and for sports. Any high school kid, we got, you know, tons of people watching right now, going to be listening to the podcast in the future. They may have kids in high school sports in general, not just football. What words of advice would you give young kids? We'll say in the high school level, you know, about, you know, preparing themselves.
Oh man. Come up with your goals. You know, you have short term goals and long-term goals, and try your best to follow those goals. And sometimes the goals are not going to plan out, and you always have to be transparent and trying to find another way to get to your goal. So for all the kids, high school kids out there, just keep on. The thing about it is, it's good that you're playing football, right? A lot of people can't even play football. So think about this. You being a high school player, you playing football, that's great. You make it to the college level, that's terrific. And if you make it to the NFL level, but at the end of the day, you have experience and you also gain friendship with people that you play with. I gain people that I play with friends for life. So just don't take the failures or the wins through it. Just keep on grinding and just follow your goals.
And I feel like everyone should have a coach that you had with the way that he helped you and guided you. Like you, that would be like the want for everybody, right? Every parent, every, you know, person out there that has a loved one that has that kind of a mentor is like amazing. And unfortunately that's not, you know, happens to everyone. So, you know, that's always like a cool thing too, that you had that.
Now, are you still big college football? Do you watch a lot of college football still?
I love college football. College football, and I'm saying this because I played college football. Yeah. I'm friends with people who play in the NFL. It's nothing like college football. Any given Saturday, Thursday, Friday, you're going to see kids go out there and give it their all for the love of the game. And when you love something, you're going to do your best to protect it. And that's the good thing you see about college football. You see them young men go out there every day. It's college sports in general. Ladies and gentlemen go out there every day and give it their all. You see the body of work they put in from summers to springs to everyday practices, and they display it when we view it on a Saturday, on a Friday night. So I love college football.
Oh, same here. What do you think of the NIL? Is it good? Is it bad? Would you have wanted it?
Yeah, I would love it. The thing, I mean, I'm probably going to get some backlash on this, but the NIL, I mean, I understand it, why they're doing it. You know, the universities made so much money on the players when it came down to it. But the thing that I don't really like, and I'm going to be honest, I'm not too big on the transfer portal. That's my opinion. I know sometimes things happen, but I feel that's the easy way to quit transfer.
And especially this year now, it's just, you know, it's like I'm out and then I can be playing next Saturday, you know, for someone else. I mean, I think they're, you know, maybe not sit out an entire year. I don't know. But yeah, I'm not digging the transfer portal. I don't know. So some team like Dion loves it. You know, he got half his team, you know, through the portal, you know, right away. So, you know, but yeah, I'm not a huge fan. What about the new running clock rule where it doesn't stop?
I don't like that either. I'm old school, man. I'm hard nosed football. All the rules. I mean, I play. It's a whole different game now. I mean, it's good to protect, you know, for the players, but I played a different game.
Now, as in safety of the players, I know Pee Wee football, they got rid of the kickoff return, and that some colleges, you know, not NCAA, you know, but have talked about getting rid of that, you know, and just starting on, you know, whatever yard line that they decide. You know, what are your thoughts? Would you ever want to see? Cause I mean, you take some pretty brutal hits sometimes on the return.
Well, I can say about Pee Wee football, I mean, you know, I think that's a good thing because kids are still developing, growing, you know, that's good. But college football or other things, you might as well put some flags on. You're going to do that. Man.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Can I just say something? Because I'm not like huge into football, but I would also assume that when you're at the high school, college level, how is taking that away preparing you for the NFL? Because the NFL then is going to be doing all those things, right? The more that they take away kind of isn't preparing go further.
And there's a lot, like there's a lot of thing, you know, the NFL is a 2-foot rule, okay. You know, college doesn't, some college players, you know, that, you know, like to walk that, you know, walk that fine line, you know, they got to change their game a little bit when they get to the NFL, you know, make sure you got them feet in. So,
All right. Fair.
So, all right. So you graduated, with a BS in communication. Thank you, Jessica. If the football thing didn't work out, what did you want? You know, what did you want to do? You know, with that degree.
I want to do something when it came to down to like working for, you know, lab, but like the news, like media type things like that. That was my biggest thing I wanted to do in the beginning. But because I played football, I wasn't able to have the internships that came along with that degree.
Oh, so
I was always on the road. I couldn't do any internships that and I say right now it's better because now they're making a way for kids to be able to do more internships. But in my era, it was you went to school for football, you got your degree, internships, you can do that when you graduate.
Yeah.
But I actually had to find my way after that happened for football. I had a couple jobs and actually found my way on the railroad.
So what were you doing like after football? Like what kind of those odd jobs, not odd jobs, but jobs did you have?
Man, I was working just trying to find myself. I was actually doing some little bit of security. I was actually doing some things with the YMCA because, you know, I still was preparing in case I got a phone call. So I had little jobs and as well working out in case I get a call. Cause I could get a call, come out here and work out. And that's just it gets old, man. You call, you here to come to New York. Okay, do a workout. And if we need you, we give you a call. So you wait, basically on standby. And that's how it is when you're a free agent in the NFL. So kind of got tired of that. I'm like, man, let me go ahead and find something I can do. I stumbled on the railroad, I guess.
I did. So what were you, at what point did you start smoking cigars? Is it like after game day or was it after some people were after college? Where did the cigars come in, into your life at? How old or where were you at?
Man, being from Miami, I've seen cigars my whole life. You know, walking home from school, I walked by factories going home, around the community. People smoke cigars. And then it's crazy. My head coach, that's all he did was smoke cigars. So imagine in the ninth grade, lifting weights in the weight room, your head coach is smoking a full shrimp cigar. Full shrimp. With your baby lungs, you don't know what's going on. And he's smoking a full shrimp cigar.
God. Oh my God, just hovering over you, you know. Yeah. Oh my God, that was back in the day. You probably can't do that no more. They probably
not.
Man, yeah. My coach, man, used to walk to school. I mean, camp, I mean, school, cigar, walking in the hallway, cigar. So it's like, I mean, I guess I seen that, then, you know, to come down with the history, we probably get into that a little longer, but I mean, I was just doing that. And then we start dibbing and dabbing after the game. I smoked a cigar when I got in college. And I can say this. when I was younger, me and my friend, his dad smoked cigars. And we had an early release day. And he had a humidor. And he was like, man, you want to smoke a cigar? You know, back then, you know, we seen it on TV. The mob bosses had the cigar, Godfather. Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, it's early release day. He's not going to catch us. I said, I don't know, man. I mean, that's his favorite humidor, you know. I knew it was all nice and wooden. Yeah. I was like, I don't know, but he said, man, try it out. Let's go. So we smoked the full shrimp cigar. My first cigar smoking a full shrimp cigar. I was
green. Early.
Yeah. Didn't know what to do early. I had to be like in middle school, like I'm gonna say seventh grade.
Oh God, so middle school, yeah.
I feel like that's like the first time my brother and I like stole one of my grandfather's cigars. Like we like cigarettes, cigars, you name it. He had a pipe. Like we thought, I don't know why we thought we could do all that stuff, but I'm pretty sure we threw up a lot.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to hide that from mom when you go home or something. And you're just green. Ooh. Like I don't feel good, mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it is easy to hide. It's not like from alcohol, so at least you could just say, "I think I ate something bad," or that's a little bit different.
That's right.
That's it. You know. So then we come across COVID. You know, which is kind of like, you know, you're the lockout year, you know, two, you know, one, two there.
Yeah.
And you decided to start up a cigar company. And we've actually 2 weeks in a row, we had someone launch a cigar company during COVID. And we've interviewed other people in the past, the same thing. It just COVID made people take a hard look at their lives and see where they were at, you know, like where were you at in your life? Like, you know, I know you're not playing football, you know, like so that's kind of, you know, past, but like, what were you doing at that time? You're like, I'm just going to start a cigar company. Like where did that idea come from?
Man. So like you were saying, COVID was a hard thing going on. We lost a lot of people in COVID. Everything was shut down. Couldn't get cigars. And I was just sitting there. I was like, man. So everybody was telling me, like, Maurice, you should start a cigar company. Do you know how hard it is to start a cigar company? Like, you just can't just wake up one morning and someone start a cigar company. It takes work, right? So yeah. At the time, I was, you know, I was still a train conductor. I was working on the railroad. So think about that. You know, you smoke cigars. Yeah. Stuff like that. So a lot of my coworkers were like, man, you know, they used to come to me, like, ask me questions about cigars because I was so into it. I still am. I'm still a student of it. I don't know everything, but I'm still learning. That's why I love it, because the passion of me knowing, learning about cigars is the same passion I have about football. So I thought about it, like, well, let me try it. I mean, what can it do? It can't hurt for me to try. And I want to have, I could always leave something back from that I did something. I actually tried to come out with a cigar brand. And if it goes good. If it don't, at least I said I tried it. And that would left me there. It was a wild thing, man, but it's kind of cool that I did.
Yeah, I mean, we started our own company, you know, last year, and you know, and same thing. I'm like, well, if it doesn't work, I have a couple thousand cigars that I can smoke that I know that are good, you know. So same,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I will say starting the cigar accessory business was way easier.
Oh
like
yeah,
1,000% easier. And but yeah. It's interesting, like what you said too, though, is like, you know, what do you really kind of have to lose? Like you got, if you don't try, you don't know. And I think it's like interesting too, because you said you found something else that you love just as much as football. So that just goes to show like how much effort you were going to put in. And I think that's key, right? We hear so many other people like, oh, I could do this or I want to do this, but then they have like no follow through. There's like, if something's a little tough, they like give up, right? Like you probably had so many things go wrong and then so many things go right, but you just kept, you know, pushing through. Like that's key, I think.
Yeah, people, I mean, like you said, this is hard. I mean, I know of cigar brand owners that have been doing this for 5 years. They really haven't, you know, made like a really good go of it. And then, but even after 5 years, they still don't have a website. You know, they still don't have like a dedicated Facebook. It's like, you know, they go, you know, just message me on Facebook, you know, and I can get you. And like, nobody wants to do that. I don't want to message somebody. I want to go on your website and I want to buy stuff. You know, I don't want to send, you know, and then, you know, give some guy my credit card number or
right. And here,
you know,
at the
PayPal
end of the day,
cash
of course,
at me.
You don't always know everything to do, right? That's another learning curve, like social media itself. And then like, right. How do you promote certain things? Like what kind of packaging? Like how are you shipping? There's so many layers and no one can just go, oh, I can do this. Like it, right. Trial and error, like, and you make, and sometimes it's a lot of money error too, you know, and you learn some tough lessons that way. But I feel like it's, if anyone's going into something, they have to really want to do it and be passionate and know it's not going to always go the way you think it's going to go.
So we're going to go into the steps of what you took to create your company, but let's just start off with the first foremost, the name. Where did the name come about from?
Well, the name is actually the name after my great grandfather, excuse me, James Maurice Moss. He actually was for the Bahamas. He came over from Cat Island, a small fishing island in the Bahamas, to Miami. And it's funny because my family always said they remind me of him, the way he walks and things like that. But he always had a cigar in his mouth. He always smoked cigars. He rolled cigars. He actually worked at an art gallery, Mueller Art Gallery in South Beach. He actually did car mobile car detailing. but his passion was cigars. His favorite cigar was a Lancero, which is, I love Lanceros. And when I was coming up with the name, I'm like, well, I need to play homage to him. So when I would start playing with names, you know, there's a whole bunch of names. I want to do something that's meaningful and people will, you know, will respect the name and honor it and, you know, have a little twist to it. And I thought about, you know, Jane Patriot. So on our logo, my grandfather's name is James Maurice Moss. And my dad is actually in the Bahamian culture. His first name is Hillary.
Okay.
So they spell the male names, they spell it with one L, and female, they spell it with two.
Okay.
So his name is Hillary Maurice Mears. He did me justice. He called me Maurice Hillary Mears. And I have a son. I have a three-year-old son, which is a junior. So I want to do like a four generation. So you see the four M's going down the logo with the J going in representing James, which the Patriarch. So
I love
Jane Patriarch cigars.
Right. Yeah, nothing against Hillary, but you know, you're a big boy and in college. I don't know if you could have gotten through.
They would have just called you Hill.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Right. I don't know. Yeah, right. I feel like anybody who comes from like the islands and stuff, because like I talk about my mom's dad, his mother's from Jamaica and his name was Enos. Like, what? So everybody called him Warren. Everybody. So like that's what I'm saying. There's some, I don't know what the meaning is behind. I don't know why, you know, but yeah. So really strange.
it is. And our,
it's probably not pronounced that way. It's probably pronounced way different.
And do you feel that our, you know, I don't know, and I feel this personally, you know, like my grandfathers, you know, that they were men. I mean, they were farmers, they were, you know, mechanics. I just, you know, I have a hard time living up to my grandfather, you know, my grandfathers, because like those were like, and probably the same as your grandfather, that's like the last like real generation of fucking men that just got shit done, you know?
And yeah. you gotta realize too, time, like I know. Like things are way different now. I mean, the technology we have now, we didn't have when we were growing up. I mean, I think the first computer I ever saw, I was like in high school.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
I didn't ever see it. I didn't have a cell phone until I was like almost 30.
Yeah. My son is soft. He is soft. You know, geez. I mean,
well, I will not say that about my son.
Yeah. He's in the army. The army tough. He was soft before the army toughened him up. So, you know, even you'll admit that. Yeah. Kids are soft nowadays. So, and I'm not even going to be that tough grandfather. So,
oh my God, right. Ben's grandfather just turned 99 and could still kick his ass.
Yeah. They don't make them like that. We talked about last week, with Tony Barrios of a Stallone Cigars. And we talked about, old man strength, you know, you're strong football player, but like my dad had old man strength. My grandfather had all like pull a stump from the ground, you know, just, you know, by with his hands, you know, just, you know, it, oh yeah. So we're talking about, you know, Ben's grandfather, 99, probably still pulling, you know, old, that old man strength out.
And I agree with that. Cause like, I remember my dad's dad, like he would shake your hand, but he would like crush it. And like, his hands were strong. And I remember we would all be like, cause he would do it like to be funny, but it hurt. Right. So imagine if he was doing that full strength to an adult. Like,
and my dad was construction his whole life. So he had rough hands, you know, like strong. Yeah. I mean, you know, he'd crush your hands and then cut it, you know, and just to prove a point.
I feel like we're going to have like a war whose grandpa was tough.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. All of our grandfathers were tougher than we will ever become, you know.
Man, so that would be awesome if that was like a show, right? All these like old grandpas like challenging themselves, like, you know, like doing different challenges of like
gladiator,
gladiator.
But I want to see 12. I want to see 12 grandpas all at 70 competing with like 12 of their grandsons at like 25.
Oh, that would be
cool. You know, that's what I want to see. Just skills test, you know, like life skills, and then, you know, picking shit up.
He still Bush mows his 1 acre yard. Bush mows.
That's it.
That's the man. That's the man.
You know, I Ben, like I said, and more so, people talk about kids nowadays, you know, like this young, like my daughter, you know, I mean, she's of this generation, an amazing young woman, a nurse in a neonatal ward. She has just, you know, made a great career, an amazing young lady. So there are kids out there that do good. Maurice, I had a young kid. He couldn't have been more than 12. I was outside last week, 2 weeks. I think we talked about this on one of the shows. He came up to the house and he had an old school push mower with just the blade, but it was brand new. I didn't know they still made those. And he wanted to know if I needed my lawn mowed. And this was a young kid, 11, 12, 13 years old, walking the neighborhood with a old school push mower, trying to make some extra money mowing grass.
Did you hire him and let him do something?
No, Chris just mowed like the day
before.
I'm
sure we could have found some. You know,
I tell you, if I had any, and I said that to Care, if I had any money, I'd give him like $20 just for the hustle. You know, so I have. So that kid in that brief interaction I had with him gave me a little bit of hope. You know that there are good hardworking kids out there still. You know, so
yeah, I see kids with lemonade stands, which I always find a little bizarre, only because of like the stranger danger that we have, like that everyone knows now. Like when we had stranger danger, it was kind of like just don't talk to strangers. Yeah. Now it's like everyone is like evil and don't lock your kids away, you know. So seeing little kids out there with a lemonade stand is a little alarming.
I'm a germaphobe. I gotta watch when Jessica makes my drink. You know? I'm not about to let some
little
nine-year-old kids, you know, stir it like on family vacation with their hand inside the jug.
I'm not rubbing their face.
I'm not about that. So we'll get back to your company. So you've got this great name, pays homage to your great grandfather. Where, like, how did you know where to go? Like, who do you talk to? Who do you call? Did someone give you a name? How did that come about?
I was just coming up with ideas. I was bouncing back and forth, and I had some pretty good ones. I had some pretty bad ones.
Yeah.
And but it's something about that just stick and just stuck. It made sense.
And then where did you go? Like, who did you? I mean, how did you know? I mean, obviously from Miami. So did you start off in Miami? Go to, because I know there's a couple factories down there, like El Titan de Bronze. How did you know what factory to go to?
So it's I actually reached out. It's, shout out to TK Kennedy. So So TK seen he knew about me when I played football in Miami, and I reached out to him, and he took me under his ring, and he showed me and taught me a lot of things about tobacco, about, you know, the process, basically how to start a company, what the do's and not the do's. He kind of seen something in me, and he's a mentor to me. He actually set me up with certain smaller factories to start out with to get my feet wet, to see, you know, to learn. But he was the main, he was the light on the end of the tunnel to give me a start, man. So I want to say thank you to TK, man. He saw something into me. He kept on pushing. So
you talking about someone that should have a cigar company. How does he not have a cigar company?
He's got such and like, he's a personality, right? Like, he's just big energy, you know.
Like, the coolest person I know.
Yeah, we ended up meeting him when we went to Black Smoke Miami. We were vendors there, and like, he, cool guy, such a cool guy.
Yeah, I was a little nervous. I'm not gonna lie. I had Kevin to. He invited me out there to be vendors because he liked our product, and we were going back and forth emails, and during one email, I'm like, I don't know how to say this. I'm just gonna throw it out there. You know, I'm white, right? And he goes, yeah, I know. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. You know, I just want to make sure. Like, I've seen pictures of Black Smoke Miami, and it's. There's nobody with a beard and tattoos awesome. Vending at any of the events looking like me. So I just want to make sure we're cool.
I will tell you how enamored I was with the women.
Oh my God.
Those women are fabulous. Like, that's the first time I ever seen like cigar accessories that were like epic. I mean, they had these cool glass like cigar like holders like for the tip of your, you know, so you could smoke your cigar down to the nub. They had pipes, like they had, and it was all these vibrant colors and stuff. And like I was like feeling like, well, I don't know how to smoke cigars. I learned smoking cigars by like watching all of them. I was like, this is like a cigar community. Like, it was cool just to be able to be part of that and like the culture and stuff. It was so much fun. It really was. But yeah, Kevin was definitely like, he knows we're white.
But then we got there and it was just one of the most fun events I have ever attended. It was just such a, I mean, he puts on a party.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Where it was located too, it was cool. Cause it was like that old, cool Miami
mansion,
It was like this cool yellow mansion house. And it had this big, huge back area yard, all the tents. It was just so cool. It was so neat.
That's it. So he hooks you up with a couple little factories. So you go into the factories. How did it go from there? Did you just say, hey, you know, I want a couple of cigars. I want a cigar. I want to blend a cigar. Some people just pick out a cigar, like you blend one for me. You know, other people get real detailed. Like my cigars, I'm not detailed into the blending process. I'll admit that. I'm not good at that. So I rely on someone else. So how did that go for you?
So basically we had to come up with what type of Bartolo we want. And honestly, the first run I wanted to do was Lancero. And he was like, no.
Yeah, that'll be your last run. Yeah.
You won't last. So he was like, let's try something. I said, you know what? Let's do a Robusto. I want to do something with a little medium. I want to do something to play, like have a little bit of like a Miami type vibe. So we said, okay, let's do like a Habano. I said, okay. So we did like an Ecuadorian wrap. I said, I'm big on flavor. I like flavor cigars, not flavors cigars, but I like the tobacco to have a flavor. Yeah. And he gave me a couple things and I was like, okay, I like that. Well, how about we put this in that? And we went from that. We did a couple. I mean, I didn't know the process. The process was long. It took a long time to figure out what we wanted. Cause I was like, okay, when I come out with this, it gotta have some type of significance. And me being a consumer, I wanted to be right, right? So you wanted to have the right construction. You wanted to be rolled right. You wanted to have a good taste. And you would get down to it, Kevin, just, you know, this has been going on for years, right? There's nothing different making cigars. Like,
yeah,
it's been done before.
Right.
So it's all about, you know, how certain people do it, how they roll, the fermentation process, you know, all that stuff. And we came up with something that I thought was pretty good. Was my first ever blend was the Habano. And I was like, okay, I could probably get customers with the Habano more because of the Robusto. And you know how it's hard to sell people on cigars, right? So me coming with you with a big old Goro, like, hey, you want to try it? I'm like, I'm okay about that. Yeah. So me doing with the Robusto size, still got the Robusto on size, it was 5x50.
Yeah.
And people start smoking those and they start enjoying it. And then I went up with a Toro, but the rollers that I worked with a small instrument factory in Nicaragua, and they actually have a sister home office in Miami.
Okay.
Oh, that makes it nice. Yeah.
That's really nice.
So I was able to work with them, and I could say me being a new brand, you want to have a trust, you want to build with people you're working with,
Yeah.
And you want to be able to, you know, be on the same page. And with this, the blender we use, Miguel, shout out to Miguel. Awesome guy. Saw something in me and he blends our cigars. And we've been good ever since.
How many samples did you go through before you were like, yeah, that's the one?
It was a lot of samples because I was passing them out to, like, you know, experienced smokers. You know,
yeah.
I had TK to smoke them. People I really, you know, I went to cigar lounges. I went to guys who've been smoking cigars for years, you know, and
that
I want to
be honest with you. You wanted their honest opinion.
Yeah, honest opinion. And I had some that, you know, was like, okay, the Habano is good. And the thing that got it was the retro. So But our Habano was like, okay, for the new time smoker, I kind of set that to the new age smokers, you know, grown men, but the experienced smokers gonna enjoy it. And also had off the retro, you know, be able to get more out of it. So that was the good thing about that. And just being able, like, I'll be honest with y'all, I was like, whew, let's see how this gonna go. You know?
Yeah, like Jessica said, it's good to have people that you can trust, you know. Like our co-host Care, you know, when he had to find a new factory and he was getting samples from other factories. And he knew he could trust me because, like I said, you know, doesn't do him any good for me to lie. You know, there was a couple of cigars. I'm like, bro, this isn't it, man. Just, you know, this cigar is not good. You know, and he'd be like, I appreciate your honesty because, you know, your friends, you know, they want to see you succeed. They, you know, and they want to tell you good things. They want to hype you up. And that's what friends do. But, you know, that you can't have them lie.
Because not everyone has the same palate. So sometimes sharing that cigar with people who do kind of share the same love of this certain cigars you smoke, then you know that their palate's similar to yours. But when you give a cigar to someone who has, like, only smokes like a Connecticut, you know, in the morning with their coffee and that's it, you know, isn't going to want something that's, you know, they're not going to enjoy probably that it has some more oomph to it, you know? Because I agree. I feel like lots of stuff is in the retro. Kevin's like a newbie baby when it comes to retro.
I'm not retro kills me. It kills me. I am not.
I am definitely a big person on retro because I feel like that's where you do kind of get some of that sweet spot of the notes, and, you know, I like it.
But you know what else too is you got to being like you said, just everybody has different palates, right? And you got to be okay. You know, it's tons of cigars. And you went through it for the love. I mean, I smoke cigars. I smoke my brand. I smoke other brands, but I love it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta actually be honest with yourself. Like, everybody's not going to like your cigar. And it's okay. It's okay. Somebody's going to like it, but everybody is not be their preference, right?
Right.
So it's okay for that. That's why this industry is so big with different ideas and different types of cigars for you to try. But the best thing I always say is, all feedback is good feedback, right? So there's nothing. If you give me any type of feedback, I'm gonna take it. And I'm gonna run with it because make it better for my consumers, make it better for the industry. You know, just being a love for it, man. You just want everybody to enjoy and be able to do what we're doing right now, to sit around, fellowship, smoke cigars. And I was the type of guy, you know, I was very, you know, quiet and soft spoken, but being in the cigar, I was able to open up. You know, be able to talk, learn from different experience. Like I tell people all the time, I brought my first house learning from a gentleman in the cigar lounge. He was a realtor. Awesome. He gave me all the insights of what I need to do to purchase a home. So the thing about it is the culture, the love, the respect of the leaf, that's going to make people, you know, that's what you bring with people to be able to gather something together. When it comes down to cigars. So it's like, you know, I mean, I already tell me you don't like my cigar. Okay, how can I make it better?
Right.
You know, for me, because I get manufacturers, I've got some cigars in there now. I've got, you know, some tasting sheets from manufacturers that pre-release, you know, like, hey, I want to get your thoughts of this and jot some notes down. not every cigar is in my palate, in my wheelhouse. So, you know, as but as long as it burns right and the construction is good, I can give you feedback, you know, but you know, and you don't necessarily have to make the cigar better if I don't like it, you know, because if you give it to 12 people and 11 people like it and Kevin doesn't like it, but at least I can give you feedback, you know, the construction was good, right, the draw was good. Yeah. Just the flavor wasn't in my wheelhouse. So,
and that's the other thing too, because you're still going to put in, I like that you, because like we've done your sheets before and I actually like how you have it set up because it actually like kind of helps you break it down, like what kind of notes you were getting. So some people really like that undertone of hay, right? That leathery like stuff. Maybe you don't, right? Yeah. But if you're writing that down, at least then you still know that those notes were, you know, in there. And so that is in someone else's wheelhouse. So it's right. Like you don't always have to change it for someone else. It's just, okay, if that's not in his wheelhouse, then, you know, maybe there's something in like with the Connecticut, you know, like changing some other stuff up for other consumers is okay too. But I like that you have that whole list because that does help.
Yeah. I had to send a picture to a buddy of mine the other day. You know, I got about 5 minutes into his cigar and it exploded like the construction. It was just, and I just sent him a picture and I'm like, this is what I got.
But again,
man.
Too, you I know, so remind that, people, we are, it is rolled leaves.
It is. So I have a
I
do have a couple more, you know, so I'm going to smoke them and, but those are things that you need to know, you know, so,
right.
Or that you need right. to know, you know, yeah. maybe there's an issue,
yeah,
you know, but I like that you took your time because, so many boutique cigar companies come out and, you know, we've interviewed them. You know, there's so many out there that, you know, they go to the factory, they pick out a couple blends. I want to start a company. And 3 months later, they got a cigar company and that's it. And then, you know, we've smoked some of the cigars and they fall apart and you only get one shot. You know that, you know, it's kind of, you know, kind of like the NFL. I say you get that one shot. If you screw it up, you know,
well, I'll say like when you had said, oh, I'm going to send Maurice your way to like talk to you or whatever. I was like, all right, fine. Like, you know, I'm totally all about that. And then remember when I got them and I smoked them, I was like, Kevin, you're an idiot. Like, I can't believe you wouldn't even like entertain this. Like, he was like, well, I'm so busy. And I did get that. So, I mean, he was like putting some of his workload onto me, which is fine. You know, I benefited from it. But, you know, then I had him smoke a couple and then he was like, yeah, he's like, you're right. There's something there. So, you know, from the moment I smiled, I was like, these are good cigars.
Well, I thank both of y'all. And Kevin, thank you for sending me to Jessica. You didn't have to do that at all, right?
Oh, yeah. And she's got me hooked on so many boutique brands.
Yeah.
There are some that send her cigars and, you know, and I'll forget about it and she'll smoke one and I'll be like, hey, how is that? And she's like, glad you passed, you know. Yeah. So,
I mean,
you
know, some are good, some are not. Rarely, though, do I have something that I don't find enjoyment with, because really my palate is like, I do like a more bolder cigar. So when I do smoke a Connecticut, it's not that I don't like it. It's just, I'm somewhat of a little bit of a nicotine chaser. I'm not going to lie. I'll put it out there. So, you know, with a Connecticut, it's lighter. So I'm not getting that craving. Right. But I've had some incredible Connecticuts. So I like learned kind of when my palate deserves certain cigars, right? Like in the morning, I definitely love to pair it with like a coffee, you know, a Connecticut. So it's just kind of learning too, like certain things that you eat, certain things that you drink, like what kind of cigars will kind of pair with that, you know, and what kind of mood you're in too, you know? Right. So, but yeah, there's only been a few that I've ever really kind of was like, huh. But then I always give it more than like a second chance, because it could have been something I ate, something that was just not feeling in the best headspace, you know? And so sometimes you just got to give things a couple chances and then, you know, see how it goes.
That's it. So you got your cigars made, you got your bands on, you have the cigars in your hand. You are an official brand owner now. What was your next step? How are you getting the cigars into the mouths of consumers? You know, you're just hitting the pavement down there in Miami.
So, man, actually, Kevin, man, I'm back and forth from Miami in Atlanta.
Okay.
So, honestly, what helped me out was, let's say, social media. Yeah. Just getting out there, trying to, you know, push the brand. And it's funny, when I first got my bands, that was horrible.
Oh, yeah.
You mean horrible. But, like, my whole thing was I want to put all my money into the product. I wasn't worrying about bands. I wasn't worrying about boxes. I was worrying about the product. I wanted to make sure the product was all was good. Excuse me. And once I did that, everything else came behind it. When people started enjoying the product, you know, gain more capital, put more money into the bands, put more money into the boxes. Because we basically was just straight online first. And what was going on was just was going online and people was ordering. And you look at our boxes, I had the boxes for it to be able to be easy to ship. Because, you know, you'd be able to get 10 count boxes.
It's super cool because it's almost like a book, right? Like it would be like the size of a book that you would ship. And it's actually a very awesome box. It's sleek. It's not super bulky, you know, doesn't have like nails and, you know, like you have to like pry it open.
And it doesn't hold like 25 cigars, which keeps people from buying it. You know, people that come out with these boxes that have like 25 cigars in there. Like
your price point too, then has to go up. I mean, you have to make money. I mean, you're not in the business to give it away for free. I mean, nobody's doing it for free. So, you know, but I the design, the whole box, A+.
Thanks. I was thinking about when I was a consumer, I want to order some cigars, right? First you think about, oh man, I hope it's, you know, come back with a box wet or the packages get damaged. So I'm like, let me think of something that'd be easier, friendly, that you don't have to have somebody's cigars get handled. You know, because they don't know. You know, post office, UPS, they throw stuff, right?
Yeah.
So you want to do something that be able to have your cigars protected. And also, you know, when you get them, you can be able to smoke them right away. Our stuff get there to you like 2 to 3 days. So that was one thing I was priding on. I think the people like the turnover on it when they order. They get their cigars right then and there. And that will happen. And they start going to lounges and voicing saying they want JM Patriarchs in there. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Are we now? We in 17 home cigar lounges right now.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
That is very awesome.
And I was like, wow.
so if you're back and forth between Miami and, Atlanta. And the Atlanta, are all the cigars, do you have like a little warehouse or in your home in Miami?
Yeah, so in Miami, we have a spot I have my cigars in, and we get everything shipped, so it's easier, right? So everything comes out of Miami. Because I'm up here, I get some stuff shipped to me so I can have on hand in case, you know, things happen. I got to do, like, an order right there and there. I can get them out. Or
that,
you know,
that's what I was going to ask, how that ordering went, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so you can either order from Atlanta or Miami because I don't know where I'm at. And I have people that help me out, you know, so down in Miami when it comes down to orders. But a lot of stuff, like, you know, I see you guys some things. I always got to check it before I send them out to you.
Yeah.
I guess the OCD in me. I want to make sure everything is right when you get them. So sometimes they do like a different route, I want to say. I just want to look at them. Even when they go to the shops, we have orders to shops. I just got to look at the product and see what's going on. If I'm not in Miami, I got to see it.
But that's good because you care about like the quality control, you know,
right.
You know, you there, that seems to be, I feel like kind of an issue in some of the cigar stuff. Like there's like, what happened to quality control?
It's you know, you say that. I got some cigar samples from a friend of mine in, talking about maybe making a cigar with them. So he sent me some samples of, probably like six different blends, you know, that he offers, something that he thought that I would like, but he didn't ship them out, man. And every one of them blew up on me. Every one of them, I hit them with my Cigar Medix humidimeter just to make sure they're at the optimal humidity level. They were at 30%, 40%. They were cracked. They were cracking. And then it's been a couple months now. I haven't gotten back. He hasn't reached out to me, you know, and I want to be like, bro, if you're sending samples out, you know, you got to make sure you're touching them. You know, you got to make sure you're, you know, like you said, especially if you're sending out cigars to, you know, influencers or people in the media, not that we're any more important than the average consumer,
right?
But you want to make sure that the cigars that you're sending people on social media to post pictures, you know, you're getting some good, you know, good cigars, not cracked cigars and dry cigars.
But you know, too, it's like, I'm sure it's fair to say though, like, you know, you're also putting trust into the team that you're building, right? From people who are making the cigars and everything. And so, you know, that could be like a lack of like understanding when someone's new going into, you know, trying to create a cigar brand. They're trusting that this is happening, right? On that right. level, when it gets to you, you're like, oh, I don't need to worry about it. It's all been done for me.
I tell you, Maurice, you're talking about trust. I'm with you. Jessica lives here with me.
Frozen, I think.
Oh,
I'm frozen.
Are we
on my side?
Oh, you're frozen. Can you see us, Maurice?
Yeah, I see.
Okay. My screen's frozen.
Oh, your screen's a little frozen there. She lives with me. I don't let her pack the cigars for customers. I touch every single cigar and I put every cigar in the pack, you know, every single time, you know, because I want to know because.
No, you know what he lets me do? He waits till I'm all tired coming home from work.
Uh-oh, now you froze.
Let me go into the hot garage and turn on the heat press and make shirts to send to people who order cigars. That's what he allows me to do. Isn't that so nice, everyone?
Yeah, she can do the shirts. But yeah, when it comes to the cigars, you know, just I look at each one, you know, make sure, you know, I don't know. It's just,
Things happen, right? You know, I mean, something happened. You want to. Triple double check it and make sure it's right because, like you said, it's a product. You got that one chance, you know. You can gain a customer or you can lose a customer, right?
Yeah, so. And especially being a boutique cigar guy, like I said, you know, you may only get the one shot, you know, at getting somebody. I think we have Care. If you're ready, you can pop yourself on here. We got our co-host, Kara, joining us here.
Sorry, wanted to make sure I was still allowed to join.
The things off because I'm frozen.
What's
the banner for
today? The banner is like
there we go.
Maurice's face. My whole screen's frozen.
So all right, let me get this. So Kara, Viajante, Stogie Road Cigars.
Pleasure to meet you. Sorry, I'm late. We had a
completely not responding.
An event to attend tonight for our son.
Oh, yeah, come with son. Yeah, congratulations on that too.
Yeah, he's awesome. National Honor Society. So
great accomplishment.
Yeah, yeah, he's dressed for the occasion too. Wearing a 30-year-old sweatshirt.
Oh, jeez.
Yes. 30-year-old Three Mile Island sweatshirt.
I saw that picture you sent saying this is the moment he regretted his decision.
He had slides on, too, and he switched sneakers. He was definitely,
funny. That's funny.
Most definitely.
Kara, we're just talking about you know, a good point that you know that you hopped in here, talking about a boutique cigars, cigar company. I mean, you started your cigar from scratch. You know, you're still a boutique cigar company. Is there any advice that you'd give, you know, Maurice or anybody else that's starting, that wants to start off with making their own cigar?
Well, if you've already started off, I got a bunch of advice. If you haven't started off yet, my advice would be don't do it. be prepared to work hard. I mean, it's the one thing I learned was, you know, especially depends on what you're doing. If you could put your full effort into it, then God bless you. But if you're doing it, whether it's part-time or full-time, part-time, however you want to define that, with a full-time job throughout the day, and then you're doing this as well, really focus local, you know, focus local and just grow from the inside out. Because sometimes when you grow too fast, it could hurt you when you get a bunch of first orders, but if you're not able to make, visit cigar shops, do events, you can say you're in X amount of states, but if you can't make it to those places, you know, you got to be able to be present on a regular basis. So, you know, when I first started, I grew kind of fast and I realized, oh boy, you know, I can't be in, you know, Washington State or Pennsylvania and New Jersey and all these places. So we still have some shops outside the South Carolina, but, you know, really focus locally and grow, and you'll organically grow, you know.
That's it. Now, Maurice, you're in Atlanta and Miami. I mean, you're probably two of the hottest cigar scenes on the planet right now. Miami and probably Atlanta. I would say Atlanta is like, probably the single. Atlanta's probably number one.
Right now, Atlanta is probably the it, you know, of its time right now. It's kind of where a lot of awesome stuff is just happening.
Oh, that's it. So which cigar scene do you like better? I know you're from Miami. You know, Atlanta's pretty hot right now, though.
Yeah, man. Atlanta's is a good spot. You know, I'm always gonna be homegrown back home. You know, I'm a traditional, you know, guy, like smoking at shops. Atlanta's more like lounges. I want to say I'm more like a shop guy. You know, backyard, garage. You know, that's the type of guy I am. But, you know, sometimes you got to go out and put a nice collar shirt on and go to the lounge, right? Can't wear T-shirts and my hat backwards all the time, right? So, Atlanta been pretty good to me. Yeah. They've been a couple shops. There's a whole bunch of shops in Georgia. Mm-hmm. I know so many cigar shops here. It's a lot. And I hit the ground running, you know, shaking hands, kissing babies, doing that good stuff. And it really planned off. The scene in Atlanta, a lot of people embracing the movement of JM Patriarch, supporting us and loving our cigars. And it's really great, especially in Miami. You know, Miami is kind of a tougher market to get into, but me being a couple shots in Miami, it's a goal as well.
Nice. That's what we hear a lot. Miami. I forget who it was. Was it? No, it wasn't last week. It was a couple weeks ago. Same thing. You know, one of the guests said, you know, it was a blessing to be in Miami, but it's also a curse to be in Miami. You know, because there's just so many cigar shops. You know, and you know, just it's tough to get, you know, walk in and you know, another boutique guy coming in. You know, trying to sell. You know, at least you're intimidating. You know, maybe they'll listen to you if you come in, you know, holding your cigar versus me. And like, get out. You know, maybe they might be a little afraid of your size. You know, they get
it's
you.
Traditional get you market too. Yeah, you know, it's a very traditional market with the brands that are out there in Miami as well.
Yeah,
and you also gotta, you know, I look at when it's like the shop and shop owners and lounge owners. You know, the ladies and gentlemen of the ownership, man. It's hard for them. Every day you got somebody coming in here saying they have a cigar, right? They're like, oh man, got another one.
Yeah.
And and like you said, you know, a lot of people don't take having a cigar company or even having anything with love. It's all about trying to just make the quick buck, right? Yeah. Sorry. So that's kind of like a downfall when it comes down to pushing your brand, because the people who had their own kind of messed it up for others, but you got to stand out and show them a different thing. Like Kara was saying, like, you know, be in the shops, you know, come in the shops, talk to the customers, be visible, you know, sell your product, let the people know who you are, and being a part of each thing, having the cutting lights and doing the pairings and things like that, actually gonna push your brand and, you know, gain more exposure to your company.
Yeah, because you're everything. You're your own rep. You're the broker. You're the brand owner. You are the you know, one man band. And so you have to be like, you know, accessible, right? So, and then it will eventually obviously pay off. But there are people who I think just when it gets a little tough like that and they realize how much work it takes, because you even said you're OCD, your perfection. You want to make sure all of those cigars are the best quality that's getting sent out. You can't be in like 30 different shops to make sure that that's happening, you know? So that's like a huge testament to your, you know, ability to want the best and try to make that happen.
Oh, for sure. Now, yeah. now how was your cutting lights like the first time you going into shops or doing these cut? Were you nervous? Doing these.
Man, let me tell you. Shout out to my guy Leo. He actually have a he works. he was at the time running a cigar shop, and I mean, the first time I went in there, we had people saying they wanted to get into this cigar shop. And I walked in there, and he was, straightening up the humidor, getting everything right, going over inventory. And I came to him. I was like, hey, my name's Maurice Mears. I have my own brand, Jan Patriarch. And he said, okay, tell me about the brand. I said, well, I got to be honest with you first. This is my first time coming to you, asking to get into a lounge. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not trying to be I know what's going on, but I'm just letting you know I'm new to this. And I'm just letting you know I'm new to this. I don't know everything. So just be patient with me. And he looked at me. He was like, wow, I can't believe he came in here and said this, but I respect the honesty because people come in here, fake the funk all the time. And that's one thing about me, man. I'm not going to fake. If I don't know something, I'm going to ask questions. And I just don't want – and I don't want people to feel one thing about me starting this business was, like, I want my customers and my consumers to be able to feel like they're not took, right? I just don't want to just sell you something. And you just – I want you to be able to enjoy it and your money goes to something that's good. Now I'm just selling you something, get a quick buck, and then move to the next one. So that's one thing I'm proud on when it comes down to this with my company, Jan Patriarch. I want you to be able to enjoy the experience and be able to understand where it comes from and just being able to rock with that. So like you said, Kevin, it was tough. And to piggyback what you said about the cutting light, my first cutting light was actually at an establishment. It's called Red Phone Booth. I don't know. It's in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. I've always wanted to go there.
Wow. Oh, well, when you come to Atlanta, we're going. We're going. So the crazy thing about that was I had the opportunity. Shout out to Shy. She was running the humidor, and I emailed Red Phone Booth and said, well, I would like to speak to somebody who handled the humidor, and I have a product I would like to have you try and see if you can be able to get into the humidor. And they're like, okay. I'm like, really? All right.
I'm going to be rich. This is easy.
So I walk in there, and I'm like, I can't get in. So I'm like, how am I going to get in here? Because it's a speakeasy spot.
Yes. Yeah.
You got to have a password to get in. So I'm like, man, I'm going to be late to the meeting. I'm just sitting outside. Like, how am I going to get in? Should I knock on the door? Or... So somebody come out and say, I'm here to speak. So we came in, and they test my Habano blend, and they loved it. And they were like, okay, we having an anniversary celebration, and we want to do a pairing with your cigars with tequila flights. And I was like, cool, let's do it. And in my head, I'm like, I never did a pairing.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. So we came in. They actually taught me how to do a pairing. We had a cigar. We did a test run and everything. First pairing had about 50 members there.
Wow.
So I had to go and give them the whole spiel about the company, the blend, and what we did was they did like a when we have a 10 count box. So for the members, they get like a discount for boxes. Okay. So they ordered about 18 boxes. The end of the night, they only had 5 left.
Wow.
Right. So I was like, okay. So I said, well, we did a good job. So how about we try the next location? Let's go to, we did the first location in Buckhead. Let's do the next location in Atlanta, downtown Atlanta. And Same results there. They said, well, let's try another location. Let's go to Nashville and try it. Did the Nashville location in the same results. So then I got a phone call. It was like, well, your cigar is doing real well. We're going to make you a core cigar in the red phone booth. I'm like, what is the core cigar? What is that? Like, oh, no, that means we'll be franchised. Every red phone booth have to carry Jane Patriarch. So now we are in Atlanta, in Buckhead location, Nashville. They're opening one in Brickell, Miami. So we'll be in there, and they have one in Dallas.
Oh, awesome.
So that was the first. That was the start. That was actually my first way into a lounge. Was in those in that. My first account was that, and just spread it.
Wow, and, that's a nice like profile for like how that's you started. Great. That's very awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and I can only attribute some of that success from just being honest. You know, I've got friends that have, you know, boutique cigar companies, and they come into a lounge, you know, just swinging it and be like, hey, I'm so-and-so. I got the best cigar. You guys should carry it. And then they end up not getting it anywhere. You know, I like the honesty, just like, hey, yeah. I don't know what I'm doing,
there,
man.
There is some okayness to fake it till you make it, but there's a way to go about that, you know?
Right. Like, okayness?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that, Jessica. No, I mean, yeah, I mean, you definitely have to sell yourself. You're a salesperson, but, you know, it's what Maurice is what Kevin said. What Maurice is, if you BS, man, it catches up with you. It just doesn't. Yeah. Always, it will always catch up. It just does.
It does. I mean, it's and then you don't have or if you lie, mm-hmm. you just got to tell the truth, you know. And like you said, you got to sell yourself. You got to sell yourself before you sell your product. If people believe in you, and then they know you, Maurice, and they know I'm going to smoke this cigar, I'm like, I know this guy. You know, like, I know where my money is going. Not that you don't know where your money is going for some of these big, big brand companies, you know, but, you know, it's you just know it's going to, you know, a local guy. So I love that.
Yeah.
So now you've been – how long have you been doing this now? Just what, 2 years?
2 years. About 2 years. It's going to be 3 years in July.
Oh, okay.
Now you've got the Habano and the Maduro, and I know you said you're more in the full flavor guy, you know, cigars. Generally, everybody, you know, it's Maduro, Habano, or, you know, Connecticut Broadleaf, but everybody wants to throw a Connecticut in there because they figure I have to have a Connecticut cigar, and I'm not, you know, I don't ever plan on making a Connecticut. It's just not something that I enjoy. Is that something that people have been asking for, you know, a little bit lighter bodied on your cigar?
Kevin, like they're asking for they want a Connecticut. And we actually in the works of doing some rebranding. So I'm in the works of doing things with our boxes for more light for lounges. Our boxes are still be the same for shipping, but we're gonna have a different design for our boxes. I'll make sure y'all get a box. When it comes with our different bands, got reached out to some heavy-headed guys in the industry that believe in our brand and they want to help out. Got a great portfolio and they want to be able to put their twist on our stuff. And it's just mind-boggling for fun. People going to help out. Yeah.
So a possible Connecticut is in the works.
Yeah, we're thinking about doing the Connecticut. Yeah, it's coming.
Okay, what about a Lancero, since you're a Lancero guy? Are you going to do your Lancero now?
Yes, we're doing a Lancero as well. So it's coming up. Yeah, it's going to be some good releases coming out. Some good different wild boxes, bands. It's going to be great.
Awesome.
Now when you talk about, you know, doing some rebranding, are you going to keep just the same? Because I've noticed this on a lot of boutique cigar companies. They start off, you know, like yours, you know, it's one band, and you'll have the Connecticut, the Habano, the Maduro. Some of them have a broadleaf, and it's easy to distinguish. Is it going to stay that way, or are you actually going to come out with some names? Because that seems like that's the next step for a lot of you know, boutique cigar companies, they'll name the cigar. You know, it'll actually be, you know, the Jam Patriarch, you know, whatever, you know, the number 77, you know. So is that something that you're thinking about, is naming the cigars as well?
Right. So we have some things that we're going to do. Basically, what we have on our line now with the, you know, with the Maduro and the Habano, I want to just keep that original, because that's the starting point of what we did. But we have some different series we're going to be coming out with when it comes down to, and we're going to get different Vitolas when it comes down to different things like the Lanceros or maybe the Box Press or things like that. We're going to do some different names when it comes to that. And you got a good mind, Kevin, because I got some things that I want to do dedicate for myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I could see a Gordo, you know, I could see a 6x60 with the name number, you know, like, like 77 on it.
Ruining the thunder. Yeah, here, like, you know, sir.
So, you know, a big cigar named after a big guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's claiming that Maurice claims that no one else can ever do anything like that. Just put it out there. Kevin will send you 1,000 messages after this. I have this idea. This is what you need to do.
I think Maurice has got a pretty good take on it.
Yeah, no, I think he knows himself. I think he's got it.
Yeah. I think he's got it for sure. So
but if you are lucky to get a message from Kevin with ideas, definitely read them because he has great ideas.
He does. And it's always after why he's in the shower.
I do. They're shower ideas. I'll send.
If you get a video message, just be thankful that you
can listen to the audio. Don't look at it. Just listen to the audio.
You know, my good buddy Abe DeBabna at Smoke and Cigars, like I said, at least once every other month, he gets a shower video from me. And I like
not said, a full body
like literally I'll be in the shower and I'll say, it'll be a video message. And like, hey, here's a great, and then I'll tell him the idea. And then he'll send back, he goes, that's a really great idea. Next time, just call me when you're out of the shower.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I have to throw up this idea right from the beginning, you know, so.
Oh my God. That's funny.
Do you feel, you know, playing sports, football, you know, that's helped you out, you know, not, you know, obviously, I mean, we see, you know, there are sports people that have cigars and, you know, that's what they lead with. I am a sports guy or I'm a veteran or anything else, you know, and I like that you don't lead with that. You know, it's not on your website, you know, picture of you playing football. And that's not something that, you know, you want the cigars to speak for yourselves, but, your football career, playing sports, what is that like? What are a couple things that, you know, that helped you in the business that you're in now, other than like we talked about the dedication, knowing that you got to get up at 4 or 5 a.m. and just get shit done?
I'm sorry. I just had a weird lag. So I was like,
okay.
You know, like football taught me how, you know, it's funny you said that. everybody want to be a winner, right? But I feel like sometimes when you lose, it builds character. Being able to have the small wins and the losses going to define you. And I feel like in the cigar industry, you're going to have wins. You're going to have some losses. But how are you going to take it, right? How are we going to react to it? And that's the beautiful about this industry, you know. You're trying to do something great. Sometimes it don't work out, but pick everything back up and try it again, right? So I think football basically prepared me on being having the mindset to be, it's okay to fail sometimes, you know. And it's not the defined of you, you failing. It's what you do after you fail, right? So I'm gonna say, you know, having a short mind, like on the football field. You might give up a sack. You might give up a touchdown. That was last play. Get it out your mind and go to the next.
Yeah, people want the touchdown every time, and it's 10 yards at a time. It's 10 yards right at a time. You know, sometimes you get pushed back. Sometimes you don't make it. You know, there's a second down, a third down. You know, people, you know, they just – they don't think that they want that winner every single time. They want that touchdown, and it's just not. I tell them it's not going to happen. You just got to keep grinding it out. Like you said, you're going to lose some, you're going to win some.
Yeah.
You know. So yeah.
I just have to say, Jessica Cook just said Kevin's new YouTube channel.
Shower thoughts with Kevin. Yeah. So that'll be on Kevin's OnlyFans.
You know, oh, jeez.
Page, shower
free from the waist up.
Yeah, $5 free, from the waist down. Yeah, free. Yeah, 1-to-1, it's free. 916, you know, 1080, 1920 is gonna cost you.
That's
great. One more football related question for you. When you wake up every single morning, what's a piece of advice that one of your coaches or even another teammate, you know, has given you that guides you like every day? Like, what's that thing that just keeps you going?
When I played football, we had every time we crossed the track to go on the field, we had to say we would not let our teammates down. And that stuck with me for the rest of my life. Your teammates, you know, it'd be your spouse, your kids, your friends. You don't want to let them down. So that's the thing I always like, wake up in the morning, do not let my teammates down. And in the day, you got to you do it for a bigger cause, support your family, friends, and also have an example yourself. So that's one thing that I say has stuck with me. Without a team, you're nothing. You need somebody to be by your side, family, mother, wife. I mean, don't let them down. Look in the mirror, you know, you got to look at it like, okay, you want to leave a mark in your life. So every time I wake up, I want to try and have a successful day and keep on moving.
You know, and your consumers are now your teammates. You know, you don't want to let them down.
Because they're
the least forgiving. Your wife will forgive you. Your mom will forgive you. Your son will forgive you. Your consumer will not forgive you. You know, they will move on to the next cigar, the next brand. You know, without second thoughts. So yeah, you definitely can't live them.
Ruthless.
Yeah, they are ruthless. Now. That's it, you know, but that keeps you driven though. You know, if you keep thinking that, it's and that you'll succeed. Now, how old's your son?
Three.
He's 3 years old.
Oh, three. Okay.
So you're not paying attention. Sorry.
I missed it. So I was going to ask if he's, in the cigar industry yet, I would say
he just told you how old he was and he just had a birthday.
I have 12 pages of notes here. So sometimes I can't always pay attention. So my last question, a two-parter, you know, in the context of your career, your experiences, your business, what's a legacy, you know, you hope to leave behind one day to your son, to your family?
And I would love to live this legacy of this of my company. But look at all cigar brands and companies. It's basically based on family and legacy. And it would be great to have, you know, if you want to take on, but lead is something to have left on for my family. Is this keep this name and this brand going. That would be an idea that I would like to leave for him. But just also leave the thought or the memory of me, you know, being who I am, what I stand for, and having a type of sense of what type of man I am. That would be awesome to live on and also leave some money.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, as brand owners, all three of us here on screen right now, that's what we not only want to leave some money, we want to have some money for ourselves, you know.
Good news and bad news. The good news is you're taking over the business.
Yeah. The bad news is that's it. You now have the debt, you know, because Maurice, like you said earlier, you know, it was reinvesting in the business, constantly reinvesting. People will, you know, a lot of people don't realize that they see that money coming in. Oh, Maurice is in 17 stores. You know, he sold you know, what, you know, 12 boxes in one night, you know, he's rolling.
Yeah. You got to spend money to make money.
Now, you know, you're talking about, you know, getting like, you know, your bands, you know, same thing. My bands suck on my first cigar. God, I look, you know, Carrie was like, man.
Yeah, that's very hard.
Yeah, those bands are horrible. So, but as both of
it
you know,
it looks like a kid like colored like it, and it got is. Wet.
Which band?
And then like
oh, the real good trash.
The real good trash.
I liked it, but it was just
it's hard.
Too busy. You couldn't read it. But it was a lot. Yeah, Maurice and Carrie, you both know bands are expensive.
Ain't cheap.
Shit, we had better bands made. Remember when we had those bands made for our original cigar prop?
Yeah, because they
were awesome though. They were better than the fucking
bands. They were simple. You know,
it was layered. It had the cigar prop behind it. Had the
yeah, but it was still a lot simpler. You know,
well, whatever. You're just
I'm more. You're probably not buying 100,000 bands at a time, are you?
It's coming up. I'm thinking about I gotta do a big order like that. It's coming.
Yeah, you know, and even if you can get them down to a decent price, you know, people do the math. Think about even if you can get them at 10 cents, you know, at 100,000 bands, you know, and that's if you could get them down, you know, below a quarter a piece.
Right.
You know, so that's a tough nut to crack.
Do you think that's why some manufacturers just go with the little foot band that is not even like a band? I don't even
know. Yeah,
the ribbon.
Yeah. I don't like the ribbon.
It's cheap. I mean, all you got to do is you can, a lot of those guys, and I know I did
the Joanne Fabrics.
When I had the foot ribbon on it, you know, on the original one, just buy a freaking big thing of ribbon. It's like, okay, that's 12 bucks, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of, like Kevin said, 10 cents a cigar.
Yeah, that's why I don't mind not having a band. I think the cool like butcher paper, you know, with a sticker on it, you know, is cool. Like, I don't necessarily always think that I need a band, but I do want like something that shows like something cool.
So when I smoke it on Instagram and I can hold it up. You are a
band. Yeah, you're a band, like everything. But for me, it wouldn't matter if it had a band. As long as I had like the packaging it came in had like a sticker, because I turn all the stuff into magnets.
But that's from the smoker's perspective. But when you're thinking about how people are going to remember you got to have something that's going to remember.
I'm speaking as a consumer right now. Yeah. Here.
Well, like Joe Dirt always said, it's not always about you.
Well, it is at this moment because I'm the one talking.
Did I just hear Kevin say it's not always about you?
Not always about you.
Just cut dollars into a bunch of little strips is what.
All right. Actually, you can buy strips of a currency from the Federal Reserve. They sell shredded money.
Huh.
So I have a bag of it.
Of course you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much did you pay for strips of money?
Well, less than the dollar value of the cigar. You soak it in epoxy.
$100 bills.
Oh, I remember. That's what you did.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. You soak them in epoxy and you make cool stuff out of them.
Oh, I did. I remember that you made a few things like that. God, that was forever ago.
Yeah, yeah. So, you can buy, you know, just, you know, shredded money from the Federal Reserve and you make cool stuff with it. You know, so.
Bands, apparently.
Yeah. So, Kara, I know we're coming a couple hours here. We're going to let Maurice go. Any questions? Like I said, you know, I know you come in a little bit late.
I probably asked a question you asked like 2 hours ago. But yeah, I asked him how old his son is, and that would have been a new question for you, Kev.
I haven't heard that. So.
No, I was just happy I was able to hop on and get a chance to meet you, Maurice. I live in Greenville, South Carolina, so I'm actually I'm right across the way from Atlanta. I'm only like 2 hours away from you.
Yeah, you're not too far. We gotta get up. Yeah, yeah, I gotta come up there and we gotta smoke some cigars.
Definitely. I definitely want to check out the
red phone booth.
Red phone booth. Yeah, yeah.
Let me know.
Oh well.
We there.
Yeah, I'll come up for that. You know, so so the three of us. I'm invited. Plus, I want to.
Kevin standing outside the phone booth like a 1986 drug dealer, like waiting for the phone ring.
That's it.
Well, plus they're messing with me.
Plus, I want to go to the Georgia Aquarium since they finish up the new Shark Tank. You know, so I want to see the new Shark Tank. We go to the Coca-Cola factory, go to the sharks.
No, you
didn't
want to go. When we were there, you were like, I don't want to do that.
For the Coke factory?
Yeah, you didn't want to. You were like, that's probably stupid.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we'll go. Let me go now that Karen
wants
to go.
Now it's cool.
You want to do something stupid like that.
Yeah. We'll go see some sharks, and we'll go have some cigars at the Red Phone booth with Maurice. So now on your website, Maurice.
The Buckhead Diner.
Yeah. Buckhead used to be a really cool place. I used to go there all the time back in the day when they had all the bars, but they closed everything down and built condos.
We were there with the kids, and we wanted to go to a diner. So Jennifer's like, oh, look, the Buckhead Diner. We showed up, and it's like, well, hold on here. This is a diner. Why do they have parking, and there's a Porsche, there's a BMW. It's like a high-end, you know, diner where I guess a bunch of famous people have gone there. So there, Jennifer and myself with Joseph, you know, Emma and Wyatt, a bunch of little kids sitting in the Buckhead Diner looking really kind of stupid. But it was a great food, fantastic food.
Well, Buckhead, do they still have that little Irish restaurant? Because they moved from their little small place and they opened up a big one, like an Irish pub. Is that still in Buckhead?
I think they had one downtown. The pub area is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, real good. And then also, when y'all come down, you got to make sure y'all come to the Stone Mountain Pub House here.
It's
a good spot here, man. Good food, very intimate place, music, live music. It's good fun here. So we got to actually check this out too as well.
That's it. Now, on your website, Maurice, when you're doing these cut and lights, do you have anything on your website where people can check out where you're going to be if you're doing cut and lights?
Actually, we got to start doing that because with the rebranding, because now we actually have to do wholesale things on the website. So we got some things coming in, but you can also find us up on Instagram. A lot of cutting lights and stuff will be posted on there. But when it comes, we're working on that, get everything information wise on the website. So it's coming probably second of December. Should be on in effect.
All right, yeah, and people can see the website scrolling on the bottom of the screen now. And then if you look in the show notes, and if you're listening to us on the podcast, it's in the podcast description. There is a clickable link to their Instagram, Maurice's Instagram page for JM Patriarch. So if you want to check out, you know, the cool things, like he said, you know, follow on the cut and lights, definitely give them a follow on Instagram. All right, Maurice, I can't believe it's been 2 hours already, man. It's been a blast. It's been a good time. I had so much fun, you know. So we'll definitely get you back on. You know, as soon as we start seeing some of the new blends coming out, some of the rebranding,
when you guys go there and ditch me, you guys will have to do like a live from wherever you are.
Yeah,
we'll ditch you.
Yeah,
I wasn't invited. Kevin literally was
that's
like,
what "I'm saying we're not going to ditch you. Never invite you. Can't ditch someone who's not invited."
Oh, sorry. Well, Kevin invited himself.
That's it.
Kevin has an open invitation here.
So do you, Jessica. Oh, apparently I don't. It's okay. Yeah. It's all right.
Whether he brings or not, I have no control over that.
That's it. All right, Maurice, thank you so much. We definitely appreciate you hanging out with us for a couple hours on your Monday night. We had a blast. Thank you so very much, man.
Man, thanks for having me, man. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, man. You have a good night.
You too.
Bye.
You're always welcome, Jessica. Whether he brings you or not, I can't control that part.
All right, everybody, start typing in the word cigar. For our giveaway. And in the meantime, let's hear a word from our show sponsor, Corona Cigar.
You guys there?
Yeah, we're there. Yeah. I think we had a little bit of a delay a couple of times. So I did take some screenshots for StreamYard for their technical team, for their engineers to try and figure out what's going on, you know, with this little bit of delay. So, all right, it's time for the Tapping Ash and Taking Names giveaway presented by Amendola Family Cigars.
It's the wrong thing.
Have you noticed a blank canvas?
I did. What happened to the canvas?
I went through and had to do some little bit of repair, some touch up paint around the entire lounge. So then I'm going to redo everything. So what was behind me before is going to be changed. I don't know what I'm doing yet. I even changed the whole format of and the whole layout of the lounge itself.
Oh yeah, I saw that. You need a bigger TV.
Yeah, that 32-inch TV gets real small real quick
when you put, it up against a giant wall.
Yeah, exactly.
So all right. Let's see who's on. I'll wait till I see it on Jessica's. Jessica, you got it, Care? All right.
Yep. Yeah, you guys were a little jumpy again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta figure this shit out. So all right, I got my list of people that cannot win here. Oh, Manny was on. I didn't catch Manny.
I didn't see Manny either. He didn't ask his question. Manny.
Oh, look at that. Manny. Oh, right on.
Oh, I felt bad for Walter Ward. It like froze on his name forever, but I didn't see the confetti.
Manny, be honest. You usually ask a question, so that means you just jumped on now.
Wrote in cigar.
He decided to show up late.
That's it.
You weren't on to ask your question.
Yeah, or we missed it. You know,
I don't think so. Well, maybe because we've been glitching a little bit. So
yeah,
Manny, congratulations. Right. Though.
So
I jumped in late. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So we got some great stuff for Manny. We got a 5-pack from Jam Patriarch.
Hold on.
We don't have to show it. We got some cigars.
Oh, you don't want me to show it?
Amendola cigars. Yes, we got.
Jessica, the close up.
Yeah, we got a Jack Lynx. Oh, he's got you.
Where am I? I don't know where am I. Okay, there.
Care's about to get dealt with. Show that up.
So up close, I was trying to help out with the up close cigars.
I didn't even see what was happening. You're lucky, Care. Yeah.
All right.
Nothing happened, Jessica. Nothing happened.
Next week, we welcome Mario from Casa Caraballo Cigars. Finally, you know, I've been talking with Mario for like a year now. He came on as a partner of the show, and he's got a great story, and I can't wait to talk. And I don't know a lot of the story. I only know I only know we'll talk about that next week. Make sure you're following Cigar Prop producer Jessica and Care Viajante of Stogie Road Cigars on all the social medias. Make sure you're following JR Patriarch on the social medias. All those links are clickable and they are in the show notes down below in the podcast description if you're listening to this. Also, the links to all of our show partners. Once again, thank you to JC Newman Cigars, Cigar Medics, Amendola Cigars, We Are the Muscle, Casa Caraballo Cigars, Illusione Cigars, Deep in Flavor, Deep in Your Mind, K by Karen Berger Cigars, Corona Cigar, and of course, Drew Estate and Experience Acid. Care, leave everybody with some final thoughts for the night.
Yeah, well, I always say life is short. Just find a friend. We're going to be seeing you guys pretty soon.
Yeah, this weekend. We'll get to hang out
and enjoy a cigar. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be a great weekend. It's going to be a nice, cool weekend here in Florida, especially St. Augustine being on the water there. It's going to be nice. So, all right, everybody. We'll see everybody next week.